It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
This might be the first time that we record this show and do this show that this beer is not just wanted. These beers are needed to try and fend off this heat that we're having. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. I hate it, every second of it, and I think there's more heat to come as well. Welcome into Brew Talk on that very positive note. I am Tanner Schwint. Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square, joining me. Chad, how do you battle this heat?
Not very well.
A lot of sweat?
I'm a fat guy.
Yeah.
And I sweat a lot.
Yeah.
So I just drink a lot of beer and water.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated.
Rehydrate while you dehydrate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dr. Michael Mosier, Rule 105, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences as well. How about you? How do you?
Shower before bed is always a good thing, as well as a bunch of other things to kind of keep you going there. And, a glass of cold water all the time.
Yeah.
I like walk around super hydrated all the time.
Yeah, but then you got to pee more, and then that comes into play. And
well, not if you sweat like I do.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It just goes out of your body through your skin.
So there was a story that came out, and we're going to tie this all together here. We're talking about the heat that's going on. There was a story that I saw that it looks like we are already going to break the most 100 days over 100 degrees in a month. I just went to hand some headsets over to Doc, and they broke. They broke right in the middle of that. But we're going to break the headphones.
We're going to break the headphones?
And we're going to break the most days over 100 degrees in a month within the first 2 weeks of it, because we're going to bust that this week. In fact, we're on pace to do it. So it begs a question. We were talking about that. I'm having a battle with one of the other employees here at the station on where we keep the thermostat at. Look, I don't pay it. That's fine. I'm going to crank that thing down to 71, 72 degrees. He leaves it at 74, 75 degrees and then turns it off, too, which drives me crazy. When you talk about a brewery or a restaurant, how do you guys, because you guys do pay the bill for that, how do you guys find that balance of making sure it's still a comfortable environment for the people walking in and coming in to enjoy your place, but also you're not having to pay a boatload of money?
You can also use things like fans, ceiling fans, and other things to circulate the air around so it's not so stagnant. So even a 74 degree with a nice cold glass of water in front of you and a little light breeze from a fan or a ceiling fan is pleasant. It's nice. It's nice and dry here, so we don't have to worry about it like if we were in, like, say, Kansas City.
Right.
Where you would just be sitting there melting.
Yeah.
I'm melting anyways, but yeah, I know what you're saying. It could be worse.
Well, there's some days it just doesn't matter in the restaurant. It's mm-hmm. when you get a lot of bodies in there and you got, mm-hmm. We have an open kitchen, so we've got that heat coming out as well. It's just some days it doesn't matter. That air conditioning is just going nonstop.
So will you go and turn it down on days like that?
Well, some days it just fights to get down that low.
Stay even close to that. Because for me, I don't like walking into places that I'm going to sit down and eat or enjoy a beer and it be very hot in there. That's the worst feeling. You want to walk in and feel like, oh, okay, out of the heat, let's just enjoy this time and go. So that it's a fine line to walk, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about is the temperature at which people run their places at.
And, it just falls into that atmosphere. If the atmosphere is good, the temperature in the room is going to be part of that. So,
yeah, and it's something on the back end you're constantly fighting with, the bill.
Yeah.
Paying the bill to run that electricity. And, small businesses pay a little bit more than residences do. And so, you got to watch how much you're paying for your electric and all that kind of stuff. So there's a fine line of what you need to make it comfortable, which is what we always try to do, make it for our customers. But I think you can't make it too comfortable.
You got to sweat it out a little bit.
Yeah, because we can't afford to.
Doc School of Hard Knocks, apparently. You want to drink beer, boy, you're going to sweat.
And restaurants make money turning tables, so.
Yeah, okay, get it.
We're not here. You're not camping out all afternoon.
You cynical bastards. You. Goodness. No,
that's why we have a patio. You can sit out on the patio with a light
breeze.
Besides,
if it's just a little bit warmer, you might order an extra beer or two.
Ice is free.
Ice is free, huh? You're going to charge me for that cup you bring it out in, I'm sure. Well, it's Brew Talk here. This heat is just ridiculous. We're going to talk some wheat beers, and, man, these go right along with that heat, right? The pretty good way to cool down, or at least try and cool down with the heat. We got some interesting ones out here on the table. But wheat beers, Doc, talk me through this. Going to be pretty good for this summertime heat.
They are. They're much more light of a base. They're not super heavy. They have a much more delicate flavor to them, I think.
Yeah.
At least at the in the base beer, and so they go well with a lot of other things. So spices can be added to them. You can have fruit added to them. You can just drink them straight, and they're all good that way. If you were doing this with ale and these were all barley wines or barley beers, they would all be quite heavy and
right.
And in the dead of summer, you don't want to drink something that makes that's heavy and
not at all.
Makes you feel sticky all over you.
Right. And this is where we've had this conversation, and we're going to talk more about the pairings and what we would do with that in just a minute here, Chad. But we're getting to that time now. That you are a certified psychopath if you are ordering a stout right now when you go out. I don't make the rules. You're just a psychopath if you're ordering a stout.
Uh-oh.
Does that make you a psychopath?
Yeah, I kind of still like stouts. But you have to be careful what kind of stout you order. There are some stouts that are very light of flavor and light of mouthfeel that go perfect. They just have a – they're just a wonderful beer. I'm not talking like a barley wine or a – you know, a quadruple
imperial
porter. No, I'm talking, you know, something really rather light, like a light porter or a, you know, just a Guinness or something like that.
I'm such a pansy when it comes to this. As soon as it gets hot, Chad and I were on the golf course the other day, and I was out. I struggled to drink Michelob Ultra on the. I mean, it's that I know.
No, tell them what you were really drinking.
No, I was drinking seltzers.
Zima.
No, that's why I'm saying I would have ordered a Zima in a heartbeat. No, I was drinking White Claws out there, and. I mean, I can't do beer when it's that hot. I don't know what it is, but you drink it, and then, well, it's cold, it's okay. But if you don't drink it fast enough, that last little bit in there, you take a drink, and then I'm puking. I mean, that's just, I can't do it. And so that's why, I mean, this is time of the seltzers for me, baby. Time of the seltzer. But it doesn't affect you as much either.
No, I don't mind drinking beer when it's hot.
Psychopath.
Or cold.
But stout?
Yeah.
Still? Mm-hmm. At 102 degrees the last couple
I'll go sit at Patrick's and have a Guinness or two in weather like this.
I'll stay away from the barley wines and stuff like that, but yeah.
No, I can't. I just cannot do it. I don't understand that. I don't think that's something that's ever going to change on me.
And there's a lot of people that just drink what they like, you know. It doesn't matter to them what the.
But I do understand what you're saying, that heavier mouthfeel and the beeriness.
No, it doesn't even sound appetizing as we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And I am starting to enjoy the stouts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I could not drink one when it's this hot.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm the psychopath. Am I the psychopath?
Maybe you're the psychopath.
It could be.
Most of the time, I'll drink whatever anybody puts in front of me. So.
Well, yeah, and if you don't drink it, they get you something else.
That's right.
So with this with summer coming upon us as well, talking about the flavorings and the different styles that are going to be coming out, what are some things that you guys are seeing hit the markets? Is it going to be more fruit flavored stuff that's in season? Are we going to be seeing more of that? And what are you guys seeing right now, Chad? Let's start with you with what you've been seeing from the beer reps that are coming in, trying to sell it to the tavern.
Fruit is definitely a big thing right now. Strawberry, mango are probably the two biggest fruits we're seeing from everybody. But, you know, strawberries in summer and kind of goes along. A lot of lighter alcohol and non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah.
We've started getting in the Strapless from Bootstrap. They're non-alcoholic line. They have, They have an IPA, they have a Golden, and a couple others, I believe. But those are selling really well for us right now.
How are those? Have you tried that?
I have yet to try them. We just started getting them in, and by the time I go to try one, we don't have enough to sell, so I'm not going to take one.
Right.
So
sounds like we need to have a show on them.
Yeah. That might be a good show to do, the non-alcoholic and lower alcohol beers.
Yeah, though it's interesting. You're seeing those more and more pop up, which surprised me. I mean, we've talked about this ever since 2 years ago when we were down at the GABF. You saw that there was going to be a little bit of an increase in that trend. I don't think it's going to ever reach the seltzer level. Would you agree or disagree with that?
The way it's selling off the shelves right now, it could at least meet the seltzer level.
And I think it's a much more steady and confirmed level of sales ever since they first came out with non-alcoholic beer quite some time ago. It's just slowly built in. And I think it's constantly getting bigger and bigger and bigger, whereas the seltzers are just sort of like skyrocket up.
Well, and it's you're seeing different styles now rather than just the non-alcoholic lager. You know, there are IPAs, there's the golden ales, there's wheats, there's all different flavors of beer with a non-alcoholic. So
that's interesting. I wouldn't think that would be the case. To be completely honest, I don't see it being the case. I don't see the non-alcoholic beers reaching the level of the seltzers. But now, if you want to talk about longevity, I think that the non-alcoholic might have a bigger market share for a longer period of time. Because of what you just talked about, it's been a steady growth, right?
Steady growth rather than an exponential growth like the seltzers have been. Are they just a flash in the pan and they just haven't gone away yet?
Right.
Or are they here to stay too? I mean, Zima came out and then went away.
Right.
It's back with a vengeance. Yeah. So, now is it going to go away again or are we going to keep it here?
See, and I think the seltzer, since it hasn't died off yet, I don't think we're just going to see all of a sudden the rug get pulled out from underneath seltzer. I mean, Michelob Ultra is doing one, Bud Light's doing one, Coors Light's doing one. Everybody has their seltzer now, and I think that has been incorporated and kind of accepted in to, you know, any, not only just craft drinkers, but drinkers as a whole.
Yeah, and you also see like the
not you though, Chad.
No, not me.
You also see like the alcoholic soft drinks that are starting to come in, like the root beer that has alcohol in it.
Yeah, not your father's
root beer. Yeah, and there's an orange ale, and there's a cream soda, et cetera, that have alcohol in them.
Ryan's a fan of the Not Your Father's root beer, apparently. I haven't had it. It must be pretty good, though. So the other thing that's going to start coming around as this weather gets here, you talk about Wiley Roots and their beer or their alcohol-infused ice creams, things
slushies.
Like that slushies are coming around, too.
And there's several breweries doing slushies now. I know Loveland Ale Works does them. I believe that City Star, was it City Star? One of the Berthoud breweries, I felt like,
was doing
one as well.
And that place, those you actually have to get so cold. It's not like you could take one of them home and just make it in your freezer. So...
Yeah,
it takes a special technique to make them that's cold, so that's always going to be something you're going to have to go to your brewery to get.
Yeah, the summer trends are here. The weather continuing to heat up. If I see you drinking a stout, I am going to call you a psychopath, and and that's just the way that it is, and you can call me whatever you want when you see me drinking my seltzer. Let's take a break here. We'll come back on this side. Let's talk about some of these wheat beers and the pairings that go along with it. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KF. Okay.
The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Into the block party on this Wednesday. It is Brew Talk Radio. Of course, I don't know what you got going on this weekend, but now I do. Let me tell you what you're going to do. On this Saturday, June 19th happens to be that date. Stop by the Shine Shop and Craft Spirits off of 10th Street here in Greeley for live music and karaoke featuring Cole Britton. Two meat plate special for $15.99. The new cocktail, the Blushing Bobcat, is out for $9. $2 raffle tickets for a chance to win a Father's Day basket. And, well, dads, you get a you get 50% off your first drink at the Shine Shop this weekend on Saturday. Stop by. They just open up their new hours. They are from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. now, Tuesday through Saturday. So stop by the Shine Shop and enjoy that. The festivity is going to be lively out there on Saturday. Fellas, just a really good time out there.
Well, it's the weekend for it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Father's Day and all.
Yeah, isn't it? Is it still supposed to be 947 degrees this weekend?
It probably could be, yeah.
Let's see here.
Surface of the sun, I thought.
90 degrees on Saturday. We get a break from it.
That's not bad.
We get a cool down.
Woo! Yeah, that's tomorrow. Thursday is supposed to be our last real hot day for a while. Monday's supposed to be 81, guys. I don't mean to be pushing too far ahead, but
that's
we're almost there.
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we get really, really hot, all we have to do is just go drive up into the mountains, and it cools off right away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's absolutely. Or just dump ice cold water on our heads. I don't know. We could do a wet T-shirt contest, the three of us.
That nobody would want to see.
We could.
We could do that.
That would be something.
We might have to pay people to come to attend that. I don't know if anybody would voluntarily attend that.
I don't think you could pay people enough to come see that.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit. I'm just putting out ideas. Maybe we could do a car wash and raise money or something like that.
Have you guys tried that towel that you wrap in, you soak it in water and you wrap it around your neck?
Mm-mm.
You're supposed to, like, not strangle yourself with it, but just, like,
and then you put it in the freezer.
Thanks for the
whatever.
Clarification there, Doc.
You put the towel in the freezer and it gets cold, and then you put it around your neck and you stay cold for, like, hours afterwards.
Yeah.
In kitchens, it lasts about 10 minutes.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
Well, 10 minutes is better than 0 minutes.
That's true.
That is very true. I will have to try that. So you just get it wet and
just
then put it in the freezer.
You don't even have to put it in the freezer. You just get it wet and then you just wrap it around your neck. And the lack of humidity here will cause the water to evaporate out of it, and it'll make it nice and cool.
Hmm. All right. Good to know. Coaching high school football and from 6 to 8, it is very hot out there. And so I might have to try that.
Then if you needed to, you could always suck on the towel to get some extra water like one of those coaches.
That doesn't sound very good. I'm probably not going
to. What if the
that?
Water is replaced by sweat?
Then you're playing a very dangerous game there.
That's not good.
You're playing with
salty
fire.
And
Yeah, no, I think I'll just leave it around my neck and grab a water bottle maybe. But no, so we're doing wheat beers tonight. Doc, you've walked us through a little bit of the style as well. Chad, when you talk about this, we're talking about the heat. You know, when it's hot, a lot of people don't want to eat as much either, right? So we look for the lighter side of things. That goes pretty easily with wheat beers.
Yeah, absolutely. It pairs perfectly with lighter fare. You know, lighter fishes, salads. You know, light chicken dishes, things of that nature. A lot of these wheat beers have fruit in them, so you just match fruit for fruit, and you got a great, great pairing right there.
Yeah, and I see. I've been noticing it in myself even a little bit more. Talking about psychopaths today. There was a guy that was eating soup.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. There's no way I could eat soup.
Actually,
when
soup is really good.
Over 100
mm-hmm.
degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Because what it does is with your internal thermostat, it kicks
makes you
on
sweat on the inside too.
Well, it kicks on, it makes it think it's hotter than it is, so it kicks on a little higher. So
it's like when if I eat ice cream, I get cold.
Yeah,
right.
So you eat soup. No,
so
when
then
I, you're when I eat
then
ice
you stop
cream,
sweating.
I get hot. Yeah, when I eat ice cream, I get hot. When I eat soup, I get.
You want
cold.
Me to give you guys a second to get your arguments together and then come back at me because I'm still not eating soup when it's 100 degrees. I will.
Well,
go
if you look at a lot of cultures that come from, you know, hot environments, they drink hot tea and coffee
mm-hmm.
and hot soups a lot
and eat a lot of chili peppers.
Yeah.
No, I don't like any of that. I don't like any of that. That hurts my brain.
Sweat. Turns
it
up your
sweat.
Internal temperature.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose is to avoid doing that.
No.
No, yeah, that's how you cool off.
No. We don't want to get to that point because then we're sweaty and then we're gross.
And then you need more Brute 33 or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Old Spice.
I sweat from about March to October, so.
Just a reminder to everybody out there. This is going to sound bad. It's going to sound like I'm talking to Chad. Just a reminder out there, throw on the extra layer of deodorant as it gets this hot because you're going to need it because it's a, there's people at not, it's not you, Chad.
Okay.
I know you're okay. I would, I
always carry the stick around with me.
I don't, so right or wrong here, answer this. We're getting into a moral question. You smell somebody that has really bad BO. Do you tell them?
Depends on your relationship with that person.
I think it does. If they're just a passing person that I know, I will politely excuse myself or, you know, offer them a beer so that I can drink another beer with them and I'll just keep my nose in my beer kind of thing.
Yeah. I think
if somebody I know really well, I'd be like, dude, come on.
I'm on the side of let's tell them, even if it's a stranger. Because I would want to know. Like, if I smell bad, I would want to know. It's the same thing. Like, if I've got a white head, hey, somebody tell me that.
Well, the thing is, probably, is if you smell bad, you probably know you do, too.
Then fix the problem. And if they know...
Some people don't care.
Then they deserve to be called out even more. It's a subtle thing. Hey, just so you know.
Well, when I was living in college, you know, all the clothes were in one pile on the floor kind of thing, right? So you grab the one from the bottom of the pile, you're running the risk of smelling all day. So
I'll never forget, since we're talking about BO on a beer show, I'll never forget there was a kid in high school on the football team that he thought it was his good juju that he wouldn't wash anything from the start of training camp in early August, and we played until November and he didn't wash any of it. The coaches actually made him wash some of it. It smelled so bad. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what is wrong?
We have that with wrestlers.
The
coaches force us every couple of days, take our practice stuff home and wash.
You have to.
And hockey players do that, too. It's like, hey, don't jinx us.
Yeah.
I haven't shaved yet. I'm not going to shave.
Hockey players are the most superstitious athletes I've ever seen.
Smelling bad's not going to help you win. I get it. Maybe not messing with the equipment or whatever. You know, same thing. I was a little superstitious. I had the penny taped down. I had a heads-up penny that I found taped down on the bottom of my cleat in there. But that's not affecting everybody else because that smell affected how I played a couple times because he smelled so bad. But I didn't like him very much anyways. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Beer 30. Let's get into rating some of these beers. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Chad, what time is it?
Is it beer 30?
It is beer 30, and we're live again from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, and Dr. Michael Mosier, DACA, joining us. As always, we got beer 30. We got wheat beers coming up. We got a hoe garden that we're having a debate about whether we've done this before or not. I know we've had hoe garden at some point, but if we're having a debate about it, it's been long enough. It's time to do it again.
I think so, too. So this happens to be a hoe garden, and their little label says, almost 600 years ago in the Belgian village of Hoe Garden, a band of monks experimented by adding oddball botanicals from halfway around the world to their traditional wheat beer. Our recipe, inspired by their creation, is an unfiltered beer with refreshing flavor and captivating aroma. Unlike any in the world, you might call it an inspired creation. We call it Hoe Garden. This happens to be a wit beer, which is a wheat beer brewed with coriander and orange peel.
See, I remember now because I was all amazed because monks were the ones who brewed this. You remember that? Yeah, I couldn't believe that monks were the ones who went out there and did that. But the only thing I know about monks is from anger management with with Adam Sandler. Yeah, that's about all I know.
I thought you were going to say Monty Python's Holy Grail.
But a bunch of monks brewed this.
The monks brewed an awful lot of things, not only for their own nutrition, but also as a way to sell it and make a little bit of money for the monastery, and also to give some of it away to the needy. So this was just something that monks did back in those days.
I'm sure I've asked this. Do you think they got drunk?
The monks' beer that they tended to keep for their own use was a little bit more alcoholic than the other two versions of the same beer that they'd make.
Is that you saying yes?
It's debatable whether they did or not on purpose, because it would have been considered a sin or inappropriate to become drunk.
Right.
So I don't imagine that they did it on purpose.
All right.
That's just me.
All right. Well, let's talk about this Hoegaarden here. This is going to be a little bit different than the other ones we've got on the table.
So, yes, this one is a spiced wheat beer that has since it's an import, it has that import nose, a little bit of skunkiness.
See, I actually really like that. I really like the nose on this one. I don't know if it's the combination of the wheat with that import or what it is, but I think it balances it out.
Well, you're getting and the spice you're getting the orange peel and the coriander.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a little tangy, tang the drink.
And it has kind of a clovey kind of presence to it. Sort of like a Hefeweizen might have.
Yeah,
yeah. I actually really, really like the nose on this. And what I like about it is it follows through with the rest of the beer. That nose, I think, sets the tone, and then it's there kind of the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is a great beer for summer. I actually like it quite a bit just because it is light. I love the head on this beer. It's there, and it just doesn't seem to want to go away. And It's a great summertime beer.
Now, remind me, at the end it says, when you're drinking these, you're supposed to pour two-thirds in, right? And then twirl the bottom and then add the rest.
Right. So they give you directions on the back of the bottle how to pour the beer. The whole point being that there's some sediment at the bottom that they want you to stir back up and add to your glass as well. If you don't want the sediment added to your glass, then you just pour off the
just
top
pour.
Part, and you've got a nice crystal Weissen. Or a very clear crystalline beer. If you mix it all up, it gets to be sort of like a cloudy beer, sort of like a Hefeweizen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Does that reign true with most beers, or is it specific styles that will have that sediment kind of settle down at the base?
Almost every beer will have that sediment in it. Even the other wheats that we are talking about today will have that in it if they packaged it in such a way to allow it to have the sediment in it. However, they've either filtered it or they're racking it so that they're not getting the solids in the beer as they're putting in the bottle. So there's no solids in the other two samples of beer that we have.
All right. Yeah, no, this is a beer that I actually really do like. I had some hanging around my house for a bit. Any final thoughts from you, Chad, before we get into the rankings here?
This is great beer for this kind of weather.
It really is.
You couldn't ask for a better beer, I don't think.
And by the way, it was so hot when we got in here. We're down 4/10 of a degree now. So
that's
that, and we got the beer flowing.
Because we're all so cool.
That and I turned the lights down low. See?
Had to go there. Doc had to make it weird. All right. Well, let's give a rating here in the dim light with a cool. What are you going to rate this one, Doc? Walk us through your thought process.
Okay, too. As I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, would I order another one of these? And the answer, most definitely, yes.
Okay. Remember real quick, 8 and above, BrewTalk approved. Okay. Anything below is not.
And so because it's one that I'm going to order the second time, it's going to be a little higher of a rating. I like the foam on top of the beer, or the fob is what it's called, or the head. And I actually, this one does have that for me, and I love the flavor. The skunky nose I can do without, but I can look the other way on this. So I'm going to have to go, I think, with a 9.
All right. I actually enjoy the nose on this. It's pretty solid. It really is. I don't know if the combination of the orange and the, was it coriander? I don't know if that combination quite does it for me. A little bit of it goes a long way. Pretty solid beer. I'm going to bump it up a little bit from what I was originally going with. I'm going 8.4 on this.
I'm going to go right along with Doc. I think this is a 9 for me. This is a beer that I would sit out on a patio under an umbrella or find some shade and have a few of them. On a hot day like today.
It just makes you wonder what it would be if we were at Hoegaarden tasting it straight fresh from the tap.
Absolutely.
If it would be anything less than a 10.
If anyone wants to sponsor a trip like that for investigative purposes, please reach out. Tanner at 1310kfk.com. Chad?
No.
I thought my phone was going to be dinging right now. All right, let's continue on with Beer 30. Oh, wait, that's Brew Talk approved.
Say wheat. Wheat. Now say Wheat Thins.
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 No, you can't have any.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I hope we can share this beer, but I'm pretty sure that we weren't going to do a wheat show without Ryan getting that in there. So so there it is. This next one. This is a beer that I've never had. Golden Road Brewing. Mango Cart Mango Wheat Ale. A series inspired by the iconic fruit cart vendors of Los Angeles. 4% alcohol on this. So very, very low alcohol content on this. Contains wheat, as they put on here. Thank you so
Thank you for that.
Golden Road Brewing out of Los Angeles, California, since 2011. I really like the can on this, actually, too. You think mango, they do a nice little illustration of the orange in the background. You got the pineapple trees and the palm trees and everything like that, and the vendors there as well. So Golden Road Brewing a mango cart. Guys, what are your initial thoughts?
I'd love to see a pineapple tree.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I was going to call him on the
pineapple tree.
I was going to call him on the pineapple tree.
No. What did I meant coconut tree.
Yeah, coconut.
It could be a pineapple tree,
I would love to see one. I actually would love to go to a fruit vendor. Thank you for that. I would love to go to a fruit vendor in Los Angeles when it's hot out.
Yeah.
That would be the perfect touch to the day, right? You walk up and order a cup of freshly cut icy fruit. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So for the beer, what do I think? The nose has a very decidedly mango aroma.
It seems like most mango beers do that, to me at least. I feel like a lot of mango flavored beers come on really strong.
Right. I think mangoes just in general are aromatic, so you're going to get that strong nose.
And, but what really seals it on this one, though, is it's not just the aroma. It's also the flavor.
Yeah,
it is ingrained in this beer. Excellent job, Golden Road. This is a decent beer.
Have you guys heard of Golden Road before?
I hadn't.
I've heard of the brewery. I haven't seen much of their beer around here.
No, that's kind of what surprised me when I saw it as well. Chad, what are your thoughts here? I mean, very clearly, you got to be a mango fan to enjoy this beer.
Yeah, absolutely. And Doc was talking about going to a fruit stand on a day like this. And this is, I think, the equivalent of that. Especially when you get that nose first and then you take that first sip, I feel like I'm almost just eating a cup full of chopped mango.
Yeah. It's because the beer isn't too heavy to overpower that
fruit.
Yeah.
To me, mango is kind of a subtler flavor. And it's not like a raspberry.
Right.
Right. So it's going to be kind of a subtle flavor. And since it's a subtle flavor, you don't want a heavy beer because you'll lose it. And this is the perfect match between the two.
Well, and what I really like about this beer for weather like this at 4%, I mean, you can if you're planning on drinking and making it a day, you know, this is a perfect beer. The issue and why I would substitute this in for something like a seltzer or, you know, Twisted Tea or something like that. This not nearly as sugary to me. I mean, this is something that I think you could drink almost all day and not get that sugar
diabetes.
Rush. Not get diabetes, type 1 diabetes throughout it. And that's I really do like what they've done with it at the 4%. I think that's huge. Are wheat beers normally on the lower end?
They can be, but usually they aren't, or they don't have to be. I should say it that way. I think you'll see this one. The Hoegaarden was 4.9.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like it. I like how they kind of piece it together. Any final thoughts on this beer from you guys?
Yummy.
It is yummy.
All right. Well, let's get to the ratings. I brought this one in. I had every intention of giving this one a high score, and it's still going to be BrewTalk approved on my end. But there's still something that wow factor for me is missing. The wow factor is not there. For that reason, I'm going to go with an 8.6 on this.
I'm going to go with a 9 again. I think this is a great example of a beer that you can sit out on a patio on a hot day, enjoy a few, and you know, do some people watching or whatever you do sitting on a patio in the hot weather.
Call over the fruit stand and have some fruit.
Yeah.
I love the high-level carbonation on this one, and that, I think, is what's going to make the difference between what I'm going to give it and what I would have given. I think I'm going to go with a 9 on this one as well.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah, it's just that high carbonation with it on a day like today. It's going to fill you up just a little bit, but not too much because the beer is so light. And then all you're tasting is it's like drinking mango fruit juice.
Yeah.
It's just yummy.
Yeah, it is. It's very good. With all of that said, it is BrewTalk approved.
Have a shot.
We've got one last beer here left. We're 2 for 2. I have a feeling, sneaky suspicion, that we might be going 3 for 3 here. We're in the middle of Beer 30 here on Brew Talk. Thanks for being a part of the night with us here. Chad, you brought this one in.
So this is Easy Street Wheat from Odell's, one of their original flagship beers. It's an unfiltered American wheat, so you do, I'm looking at the bottom of the bottles here, you do see that sediment.
Yeah.
You're right over there?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I was looking at the sediment. Leave me alone.
Coming in at 4.6%, so all fairly, again,
yeah,
fairly low alcohol.
I love this. So do you mind if I read this?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's in a name? Well, we like to think of Easy Street as more of a state of mind than an actual place. Light in color with refreshing citrus undertones, Easy Street is an unfiltered American-style wheat beer. The yeast gives the beer a nice smooth finish, a slight fruit flavor, and its distinct cloudy appearance. Before you experience an Easy Street, here's a little something to keep in mind. And it gets back into the pour two-thirds out, swirl it at the bottom. So they have it on theirs as well. It's not as prominent as the Hoegaarden was. But I think that's kind of interesting that they did put that on there as well.
Yeah, with Father's Day coming up, this is one of my favorite beers to make a beer mosa with.
So, Wilson, if you're listening.
But with that citrus, it's great. Yeah, just add a little orange juice to your beer, and do you feel like the moms on Mimosa Day?
I feel like me on Mimosa Day. Were going to say citrus goes well with a lot
citrus,
of beer.
I think citrus goes well, any kind of citrus, whether it's a lime, a lemon, an orange, a grapefruit, whatever. I think that citrusy kind of bite really goes well with a wheat beer.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And this one I could easily see, you just walk up to whichever citrus you've got and whack off a piece and throw it in.
Toss it in.
So, do you guys detect a little corn in the nose? I detect a little tiny bit of that.
Yeah, and a little bit.
And I don't know if that's just my nose or
I got the bottom of it, so I got the sediment to put in there too, and it's pretty strong on that nose. It's a big nose, and it's a big head on it as well. I mean, it's yeah, pretty strong on there.
I don't think it's corn that they've added. I think it's a little bit of dimethyl sulfide from the Pilsner malt or something like that that's added to it as well, which I think adds a lot more body to it. So the Easy Street is, you know, I think, a little bit heavier of body than the other two we've already tried. Maybe I'm...
I don't think you're missing it.
Even though it's not flavored, but with fruit or with spices, I think it's a richer beer than the other two we were looking at.
All right. Well, let's get into some ratings here. Chad, we'll start with you. You brought it in. 8 and above. BrewTalk approved. Anything below? Not so much. Let's go.
This is one of my favorites. One that I kind of introduced me to the wheat beers. One of the first ones I had. So I'm going to go 9.5 on it.
Mm. Doug?
I like this one, but after I've had that mango cart from Golden Road, it's kind of ruining me. this I actually do like this, and I think I'm going to go 875 on it.
All right, I think with mine I'm going to go. I'm kicking myself because this deserves the Easy Street deserves a higher score, but the mango I should have scored the mango cart higher. Looking back at it, it's one of those things you don't know what you got till it's gone. so I'm going to go with an 8.5 on this with the Easy Street, simply because I couldn't give it the same as the Mango Cart, and I should have upgraded the Mango Cart. But nonetheless, it is BrewTalk approved.
Excelente. Excelente. Excelente.
Love it. Love it. Or it's excellent. That is Beer 30. That was 3 for 3. I thought that the Mango Cart was going to be the wild card, but it delivered.
It really did.
It's very surprising, too.
I don't know about the availability of it, because there's not a lot of liquor stores that you see Golden Road in. Help me out with the name of the liquors. Coral Bay. Mm-hmm. Where it's. You can find this at Coral Bay off 10th Street here in Greeley as well. If you want to go check that out. But
I'll tell you, if the beer continues to deliver like this, I think you'll see this mango cart all over the place very shortly.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side and wrap up this edition of BrewTalk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFK.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into Brew Talk. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, I will say the surprise of the night is the Golden Road Mango Cart. I don't think anybody really thought it was going to get that high. I thought it was one of those whimsy beers that was just kind of, hey, mango, get it out there, ship it, do a billion.
And now I want to see if they have a papaya cart and a passion fruit cart and an orange cart.
They did this so well. I'm sure it was some mango like extract. I mean, I'm sure that it wasn't just pure mangoes on all of it, but it doesn't taste like that. I mean, it tastes almost like it was real
like
fruit.
A fresh mango.
Yeah. It tastes like fresh mango. I mean, at least it didn't taste like watermelon. So, I mean,
that would be concerning.
That would have been very concerning.
If the name of it's Mango Cart and it tastes exactly like a watermelon.
Well, and because every watermelon beer we've ever had has never been beer.
That is true. I just always base it on, like, if they're not bragging about it, comes from real mangoes. I mean, then I assume that it's not, and I don't see it bragging about it anywhere.
Yeah.
It performed really well. I highly recommend the Golden Road the Mango Cart from Golden Road Brewing. Just a couple minutes left. Let's set up. You guys got some big things coming up. Chad, on the 29th, your first beer dinner pairing back with Horse and Dragon.
Horse and Dragon is back. We've got 5 great courses planned out. Brett and Matt are figuring out the beers today as we speak, so we'll soon have a menu posted on the on the event. So.
Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. Give us a call, 970-330-2337.
Which is also spells beer.
Spells beer.
I knew that definitely.
And that's that's $50 a person for a great night of fun food and beer.
So now one of the questions that I've been asked is it going to be back on the patio set up the same way before with a couple of big tables?
It'll be back on the patio. We did kind of a dry run last month where we did just the beer we had on tap, and we didn't do the two big tables, but we'll probably be back to the big tables.
Sweet. Yeah, looking forward to that. That's June 29th. Tickets still available. Get yours selected and picked up and bought. It's a perfect way to get away from the Stampede for a night if anybody's tired of it. Doc, real quick, next week.
Yeah, next week, Rule 105 hits the market as a new brewery grand opening out on West 10th. And my wife and I are really excited about the grand opening. I'm scared about it, too. Can we get everything done in time?
I believe. And the whole show will be live from Rule 105 next Friday as well. Don't forget, go visit on Saturday. It is the Shine Shop. Go and have a great time out there. David Pennington joins us next week. For Ryan Kelly, for Doc, Chad, I am Tanner Schwint. This has been Brew Talk. Cheers, Northern Colorado.